KD. And she's inspiring a generation of young women. She's oh so virtuous. Right here on The Jesus Show.
This is Kendra Denise, and you are listening to Sistified. And we have an awesome show for you today. We're going to be talking about pressure. Man, with all the things that's going on in our world today, this is a subject that really needs to be talked about. It is a part of our Let It Go series, so I'm excited about that. We also have a featured testimony by the artist Minister, who was once known as Sinister. He's going to give us his testimony on how he handled the pressure of the music industry. You don't want to miss that. But you know we can't talk about that without first listening to our inspirational song pick of the day, which is Jonathan McReynolds talking about pressure. Enjoy the song, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Here's your inspirational song of the day with KD.
I can't even turn on my phone without being reminded of the lie that I am alone and broken, unsuccessful. And I can't always talk to my friends, 'cause they've got expectations that I may or may not be living up to. I really need to rid myself of the pressure, pressure, pressure to be someone else that the world has made. Jesus, take from me all the pressure, pressure, pressure to be someone that you did not create. Help me be me and only see you. Let me decrease in glory. Fire you. Intentions were good, just act like a Christian should and hope that someone watching would approve and be inspired. But if you're not feeling my show, then how far could I go before all of my accomplishments go down in fire? Just 'cause all of the pressure, pressure, pressure to be someone that the church has made. Jesus, take from me all the pressure, pressure, pressure to be someone that you did not create. Help me be me and only see.
Nobody else but you. I just wanna live.
pressure to be someone that you did not create.
Praise God. Haven't you just felt pressure before? Have you ever been between a rock and a hard place? You just don't know what to do? Well, that's what this show is going to be about. Sometimes we're going to have to make a conscious decision when the consequence of our decision may hurt us a little bit, may put us in a rough, hard predicament when it comes to man. But with God, you're going to be an overcomer. So if you're in that situation, have been in that situation, or know someone who's currently going through something like that, let me encourage you that God's got your back, okay? It is not anything new under the sun. So what you're going through, believe me, somebody else has gone through it, is going through it, is gonna go through it. You're not alone in what you're going through. But I want to encourage you that you can stand on the promises of God. You can stand on the will of God and know that He's got your back. Okay, with that being said, I want to share a story out of the book of Exodus. Everybody pretty much kind of knows the story of Moses. But before Moses came to rescue the Israelites were going through persecution, right? They were going through persecution because they were growing in number. See, they were there favored by God due to a leader they had who was by the name of Joseph. But after Joseph had passed away, after he had died, he left his relatives. His relatives were the Israelites, right? Well, the leader who had favored Joseph, who was under the leadership of Pharaoh, he had passed away, and then now there was a new leader. Now, this leader was very, very harsh. So they were under a good leader at first. That leader died. Then the person who was the relative who was under that leader, he had died. So there was no one there where they had that favor with, okay? Then arose this evil Pharaoh, the Pharaoh who wanted to take out the Israelites. He had it out for them. He wanted them to be gone. So what did he do? He ordered the midwives who were helping the Hebrew women to kill every firstborn son that they saw. Now, that put the midwives in a very, very hard situation. They were ordered by their leader to kill innocent people just because they were growing in number. So he was afraid that they were going to outnumber his people. So he ordered the midwives, the women who were supposed to bring life, to kill the firstborn of the Israelite children. So instead of helping the Hebrew women, they were going to be there to destroy them. But you know what happened? They decided not to. They made a stand to not even touch God's children. They said, you know what? We know their God. Their God is powerful. Their God is holy. I do not want to touch his people. He's a mighty God. He's a good God. Okay? So they refused. And even when they were asked, they stood up and said, you know what? I'm sorry, I can't do that. That's not what I'm going to do. I can't do that. You know what happened? You know what happened? God blessed them. The Bible says in Exodus 1:17, but the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And then 18 says, and the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have ye done this thing and have saved the men children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dealt with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And then it goes on to say in the 21st verse, and it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. You know what? When we choose to do right before God, we get blessed, okay? It said that they were given houses because they feared God. Not only did the Israelites grow in number and in power and in strength, even when they were getting beat down, and it goes on, we're gonna be talking about that in the next couple of series, But just for this one, we got to choose that even when we're in a position to hurt other people, that we're going to stand for righteousness, that we're going to stand for what God says and see Him come out on top. Because it's very easy to follow out what the crowd is telling you to do, follow out what someone else is telling you to do. But you know what? When we can stand on the Word of God and on righteousness, and we stand on integrity and do people right, even in the midst of everyone telling you that you should do something else, you know what? God will bless you. Sometimes we get afraid, more afraid of man than of the God we serve. We don't got to do anything that God tells us that we don't got to do. He got our back. He says in His Word that if I before you, I am more than the world against you. If God is for me, who can be against me? That's what the Word of God says. So we don't got to be afraid when we stand up against people in high position, when in society, when they're telling us that we should agree with certain sins, or we should love everybody. Yes, we can love everybody, but we need to stand on the truth. If God says no, then God says no. We don't compromise what God and His Word is telling us to do based on what people are telling us to do. So I want to encourage you, if you are facing a trial and it's making you in a position to where standing up for what is right is looked at as being wrong, I want to encourage you to still stand. Because even when it seems like you're getting a harsh consequence for something that you're doing that is right, God is going to come through. I seen a testimony somewhere where this guy had lost his job, and it seemed like it was horrible. It was Saddleback Church, and they gave a testimony of a man who had lost his job, and he thought that it was horrible that he lost his job. They wanted him to do something and he refused to do it, and because he refused to do it because of it was unethical, they ended up firing him. But you know what? Sometime later, everybody who was still in that business, guess what? They ended up having to deal with charges, and he was no longer there. So God will cover you. Sometimes things seem like, why is this happening to me? I'm only trying to do the right thing. It's because God might be covering you and keeping you from that thing that the enemy is trying to use to hurt you. But he's covering you. He's like, no, I'm going to go ahead and you go ahead and do that, but I got you. And that's what was going on with the children of Israel in Exodus. So we're going to go over that through the next week of how God comes through for you whenever the enemy is really coming at your feet. I mean, he could be on your tail, but you know what? God is stronger than anything the enemy could do. He's bigger. He's stronger. He's mightier. He's powerful. He's omnipotent. He's all-knowing, all-seeing. You know what? God is more than the world against you. So you can stand on His promises. You know what? We got an awesome testimony by the gospel artist, minister, who's going to tell you how he had to stand up to what is right, even in the midst of his situation when he felt like he was probably going to die. He had to make the decision, and that decision saved his life.
My name is Minister. I grew up on the streets of Tampa Bay, Florida, basically where I'm from. My granddad owned a nightclub on one side of the street, and my dad owned a nightclub on the other side of the street. During my childhood, my mom was addicted to crack, like basically my entire childhood. But sometimes when she was off of her binges or whatever, she would attempt to go to the local church and, you know, try to get plugged in. But it wasn't really like life in that church. It was more religion and tradition. And so the same thing just kept on happening. It was just repeat pattern. Age 13, I started selling marijuana. Age 17, I ended up catching like 3 strong arm robbery charges. I was in and out of juvenile detention centers, house arrest, probation, went to juvenile boot camp, aftercare programs. I just had a lot of, you know, run-ins with the law. I started rapping professionally in 1996. During this time, I was listening to a lot of gangster music, rap music, and I heard the rappers talking about selling their souls. I heard this one individual talking about how he was talking back and forth to the devil, and the devil was propositioning him to sell his soul in exchange for fortune and fame. I got my first record deal in 97. My roommate was selling crack, and I was smoking weed sun up to sun down, alcoholic at the time, eating ecstasy. You know what I mean? The drugs, I was addicted. It was just a party lifestyle, basically 24/7. one night I was in my home studio recording with a bunch of people that I know, a lot of my friends. It had to be like 8 to 10 people in the studio this night. And it was just weird to me. I just knew something just felt different. And I had heard some of my friends saying the same thing that I heard some of these rappers saying in some of the songs that I was literally rapping on with them. They were saying that they were selling their souls as well. But, you know, being lost, you just think it's a lot of wordplay. I didn't realize that they were literally selling their souls. And it came down to it that demonic spirits actually began to speak through some of my friends. One dude actually even came up and had a wad full of money and said, "Man, don't you want to make all this money?" And so it would go from person to person, like sitting around, like a devil would begin to just speak through each person, telling me in order for me to take my career to the next level, I would literally have to give myself over, bow down and worship Satan. But first of all, I was scared, but I knew if this was happening, Satan was real. I knew that Jesus was real. I knew that God was real. I had my pad out. We had beats playing in the background because we were writing. We had a home studio. And I began to just apologize to God for the lifestyle I was living. I don't even know how I even got to the point where I knew I had to repent. I just knew I just had to. So as I began to repent, like I would just read that apology out loud and just apologize to God for the way I was living. And every time I would do it, a person would literally get up and leave my house. After I wrapped all of them out of my house, I had a little sawed-off shotgun that I used to sleep with up under my mattress. I went and got it from up under my mattress, and I was gonna go commit suicide because I just didn't see another way out. But I heard a voice say, "You need to go to your mom's house." Now, to this day, I probably think it was an angel. I'm not really sure, but I went. And my mom, she wasn't like on fire for God at the time, or none of that. But when I came in and she saw the gun and I started to tell her what was going on and what I was experiencing, she said, "Boy, you better pray." And she went in the room, she pulled out the Bible and she opened it up to the 23rd Psalm. All I saw was, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." I went in the room, my old room at my mom's house, got on my knees, and I wholeheartedly repented and asked Jesus to be my Lord and my Savior. For the next 7 days, I continued to hear like demonic voices, actually in the voice of my friends, still propositioning me to sell my soul. I didn't know nothing, but I just kept standing on Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And I just stood, and on the last day, seventh day, I was completely delivered. One of the first scriptures that really like jumped out of the Bible to me is Proverbs 18:21. "Death and life is in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." So I started realizing the death that I was not only bringing upon myself by the things I was speaking and of course living, but also the death that I was bringing upon other people just by the music I was creating. As far as music was concerned, I was through. But as I began to seek God, I started getting in the Word, started praying, and He began to reveal Himself to me. And He also started to reveal myself to me in Christ. He told me, He was like, "Look, you just go for me. You are going to be my echo in the earth. So whatever I say to you, you just go and you just preach it on the rooftop." At the time, I was a rapper by the name of Sinister. And He just said, "You just change that S into an M and you go for me." God's word will never pass away, and it works. I mean, His word works, and His word changed me, and I know it'll change other people, so I stick to the script.
That's awesome. God's word changes lives. The Bible says, "Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." And when we get into God's word, He begins to change our heart and our mind around. He begins to work on our mind, and it touches our heart. Then it begins to touch our life, and that's what happened to the rapper Minister. You know, he gave his life to God. He was in a tough situation. He could have went after the money, went after the fame. And then you know what? He would have been still bound and unhappy and not feeling the peace and the joy that he has discovered in Christ now. And in society, that's what the world is offering us. We look on TV, everybody's after money, everybody's promoting status and money and just this great life. But you know what? It's empty. Without Christ, it's empty. There's a peace that comes with serving God, with giving our life over to God. when we just run after money and status and all that, it really does leave us empty, because we lose the relationships that we need to have. We end up getting involved in things that make us sick and takes our mind off of the things that really matter in life. And then we just get involved in negative, around negative people, around negative atmospheres. And we don't have to live like that. We can just live with God and do whatever He tells us to do, and then we good. Psalms 127:1 says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain." That is something very important to know in the times that we're in today. I mean, it seems like if we're talking about God, we're kind of making a mockery of Him. And it seems like this world is trying to take God out of everything. But you know what? We can't make it without God. He is the foundation of our life, of our living, of what's right and what's wrong. And so when we don't have Him, we don't know what's the right thing to do, what's the wrong thing to do. You know what I mean? So staying connected to God helps us in all the decisions that we need in our life. If we think about what's going on in the world as far as the election and the issues with the police and the community, man, we need God. The reason why we're going through all this is because we need prayer. We need God to come in and touch our hearts and our mind and help us to love one another again. Not the kind of love that says, oh, you can do whatever you want and there's no consequences. No. The kind of love that challenges us to be patient, to be kind, to be forgiving, to be truthful, to not say that's okay when it's wrong. You know what I'm saying? We need the kind of love that will have a police department standing up to say, you know, let's get with our community. Let's give back. We need the kind of love that will have the community to embrace the good police officers. And we need the kind of love that does not divide the community, but that draws everybody together for a common cause, which is justice, which is peace, but the kind of justice and peace that God wants. The kind of justice and peace that the Lord wants us to have. A forgiving justice and peace. I want to do unto you as I want you to do unto me, justice and peace. I want to think about your family as you think about my family, justice and peace. We need to go back to the foundation of the word, and then that will carry us through some of the hard times, through the voting, through the things, that laws that are being passed that are devastating to our communities as a whole. But if we come back to the foundation of the word and we're not persuaded by, you know, the enemy that tries to tell us to say yes to things that are wrong and to say no to things that are right, we need to stand on the truth of the word of God and begin to declare it with power and with courage and with conviction. And then we will see change in our own, you know, communities. So we have to do that. And so that is what this show was about today, to encourage everyone to stand in the pressure, stand on God's word in the midst of the pressure. There were some Hebrew boys in the Bible who had to do that in the midst of it all. They were thrown into the fiery furnace, and in the midst of that, God was there. God was in that fiery furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's who I'm talking about, where they were. The leaders in that time was trying to make them bow down, but they refused. And because they refused to do what the leadership told them to do, they were thrown in the fiery furnace. Same with Daniel, when he did not bow down and pray to the king, but he bowed down and he prayed to God. They threw him in the lion's den. See, some of us are going through lion's den experiences because people want us to compromise what we think is right according to God's word. Let's not compromise the word. Let's stand on the truth of the word. If you gotta just, hey, sometimes you gotta let some things go. Let some people go. Let some jobs go. Let some things go. So you won't be pressured to compromise. Sometimes you gotta just let it go. Give it to God. Don't choose things and people and stuff over what God. If someone is trying to have you do something over what God has you to do, then you know what? They're not for you. If the people trying to press you to do something that God didn't tell you to do, they're not for you. Just, okay, well, you to each their own. You go ahead and go do what you want to do, and I'm going to do what God told me to do, and I know God's going to favor my life. You may not see it that way, but that's how you live your life. See, we got to be bold about what we're doing for God, and we got to say, hey, you know what? You may not agree with what I'm doing, but I'm going to go do me, and you're going to go do you, and that's okay. But what we cannot do is say, it's bow down and begin to be afraid to speak the truth. Not go and be in other people's business. People are going to do what they're going to do. But when it's brought to you and people are telling you what you need to do, well, you know what? You need to tell them, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do exactly what the Bible tells me to do. I'm going to do what he tells me to do. And you ain't going to tell me what I need to do. I'm going to do what God tells me to do. And that's exactly what the midwives did in this story. They said, let me tell you, the Hebrew women, listen, they're favored by God. I'm not going to do what you tell me to do. And guess who blessed them? God did. So sometimes you got to just stand up and tell the truth. Even when it seems like you could be in trouble for it, tell the truth. Be honest. Be what God called you to be. Do what God called you to do. It might bless other people to be encouraged and have courage to stand up and do what God has them to do. Whatever pressures that you are going through in your life, I want you to know that God's got you. You do not have to feel alone. You don't have to feel by yourself, and you certainly do not have to compromise what you believe in order to please another person. God's got you. Stand on the truth and the power and the might of God, and he's going to lift you up. Okay? So if there's someone out there right now who, you know, you feel like you're by yourself in it, well, I want to say a prayer for you. I want to let you know that God's got you. He's there. He said he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's right there with you. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, get to know him. Know him. Accept him today. Because you know what? Without him, we can do nothing. He is a sustainer of our life. He's an anchor of our life. He helps us to stay level. You know what I mean? When things get really heavy and hard, you know, he is our anchor. He keeps us and he holds us up. So I just encourage you to get your help today. That's Jesus. Get your peace today. It's in him. Know who you are. Know the power that you have in him. It's in Christ. Okay? Can I pray with you right now? Go ahead and bow your head. Father God, I just thank you right now for every listener, every person who may have been going through. You know the pressures that we face in our life, Lord God. It could be a mother. It could be a husband. It could be an employee. It could be a community leader. It could be any person who is going through, a manager, whatever the case may be, Lord God, a child, a teenager, a person in school, a college student, Lord God, you know the circumstance that each and every one of us are going through. But Lord God, I know that you have the power to uphold us in the midst of it all. So I pray, Lord God, that if there's someone out there who don't know you, Lord God, that they'll know you, that they'll accept you as their Lord and Savior today. And Lord, I pray for that person who knows you, but they're getting weary in well-doing. God, I pray that they won't get weary in well-doing, but that they'll continue to do well, knowing that they're going to reap a harvest if they faint not. Let them not faint in the midst of their doing good, Lord God. I pray that you will reward them with your love, with your peace, with your joy. Let them feel your presence with them, God, everywhere they go, Lord God. Even where they are right now, let them feel that you are there with them, oh God. And you love them with an everlasting love. And you said in your word that nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. He loves you with an everlasting love. And he is not going to leave you. And he's right there. I thank you right now, God, for all that you're doing in all of our lives. And that you have the last say. You're the author and the finisher of our faith. And we just want to say thank you, God. Thank you, God, for being the ruler of our life. For being the sustainer of our life, oh God. And we trust you. And we put our hope in you. And we'll say yes to you in all that we do. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. Hey, if you enjoyed this show, please stay connected to Sistified. You can catch us on Facebook.com/Sistified. You can also catch me on Twitter @KenyaDenise. And stay connected to TheJesusShowOnline.com. Remember, if you are blessed and you know you're blessed, you can't be stressed. So stay blessed, y'all. It's The Jesus Show.
This is for the sisters, for the ladies, for the girls.
The Jesus Show. It's in the name.